Now to that SpaceX mission.
I'm Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the moon. And you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. This is the Space Show, Australia, on 88.3 Southern FM.
In spaceflight terminology, an extravehicular activity, or EVA, is when astronauts leave their spacecraft to go into the vacuum of space. There are two common ways to achieve this. First, as used by the first people to do this feat, such as Alexei Leonov when he exited Voskhod 2 in 1965, and that is through an airlock. In their day, in the Voskhod 2 situation, the spacecraft is kept pressurized, that is, it still has air inside it, and the airlock is voided to the vacuum. Now, airlocks are used on international and Chinese space stations. The second method was used by the first United States astronauts during the Gemini program. The entire spacecraft vents its air, meaning that all of the occupants need a spacesuit, whether staying inside or doing the extravehicular activity. Now, voiding was used by both the Apollo Command Module and the Lunar Module on the Moon. Now, Ed White's EVA came 2.5 months after Alexei Leonov's. Here is how I recorded the preparations on the Kitsit reel-to-reel tape recorder that I built from a Kitsit between Leonov's exploit and Ed White's. And that's why I don't have any recordings of Leonov's one. So here we go, the preparations for the Gemini 4 flight.
And now the voices of the two astronauts themselves. A reporter asked them what their families thought of the flight. Edward White replies first.
I think that I can speak for the whole family. They all think it's great. They really do. My children are too young to really appreciate what's going on, but my wife and even my mother and father-in-law think that it's pretty good.
I would say my wife, she's been with me ever since I started flying back in Florida, and she's accepted this very well. I think she accepts the judgment of what I want to do, and she's 100% behind me in the program.
Astronauts Edward White and James McDivitt.
Two American astronauts stand on the threshold of one of man's great adventures, the space flight during which one of them may step into space near another satellite. The planned 4-day spaceflight of Edward White and James McDivitt is due to start at 2:01 tomorrow morning, New Zealand time. Much of the drama will be packed into the first 7 hours of the 97-hour, 50-minute mission. Over the Pacific Ocean, McDivitt will try to maneuver the Gemini 4 capsule within 20 feet of a portion of the booster rocket also orbiting. 3 hours after launching, as the two satellites approach the western Mexico coast, White is expected to open the hatch and step into space. During the 12 minutes that White floats in space, he will span the entire continent of North America. A description of the launching will be broadcast direct from Cape Kennedy on 2YA's all-night transmission. Edited excerpts of the space flight will be heard during tomorrow's breakfast program.
Days later, Gemini 4 was in orbit. And the Voice of America covered the EVA, which by now was being incorrectly described as a spacewalk. Unfortunately, shortwave reception that day was poor, so I have edited my recording to play only the cabin depressurization and the stand-up portion of the EVA.
Depressurized down to zero, which means it's exactly the same as it is now in space. hooked into the spacecraft oxygen supply.
An astronaut Edward White is standing in the open hatch of the spacecraft.
She'll be climbing out any second now.
Farmer's contact with the spacecraft. Exhibit confirmed that White did leave the spacecraft. He says he looks great. He's outside working his maneuvering unit. And Jim is clearly too bad about the performance that he's witnessing at this time.
Now, Ed White completely left the spacecraft, which was fully depressurized, and he was outside for 23 minutes. That was longer than the 10 minutes planned. And the cabin was then repressurized, but it was depressurized for much, much longer than those 23 minutes. So they spent quite a bit of time in the vacuum. Now, when I learned that the crew of Polaris Dawn was going to do a spacewalk, I, and many others, expected something like what Alexei and Ed had done 59 years ago. And, well, we're not particularly interested. When I learned that the Polaris Dawn event was only going to be a stand-up EVA, I was even less interested. Now, social media was alive with people expressing their disappointment. And I must say that there were pictures of these Polaris Dawn astronauts floating outside the capsule, free in space. Well, for the record, this was the 477th extravehicular activity, or EVA, in the history of human spaceflight. So, the older ones of us were not exactly, in the words of Apollo 16 astronaut, about to turn blue. Last week, the Polaris Dawn crew used Method 2 for their activity. That is to, they vented all of the air from their spacecraft, Crew Dragon spacecraft. Then, one at a time, two of the four crew members stood, I say stood, in the hatchway. Not a spacewalk or a space stroll, as most media has incorrectly called it, but a space stand-up, with their legs still inside the craft. The pair were able to hold onto what SpaceX described as a skywalker. Now, this was a pair of handrails, looking somewhat like an aged person's walking frame, or like the handholds of the steps at the swimming pool. As you heard a few moments ago, ex-astronaut and moonwalker is a friend of the space show, Charlie Duke. Before this Polaris Dawn mission, Duke visited the crew of SpaceX headquarters in Hawthorne, California, although he was not exactly turning blue.
We have a launch commit and we have a liftoff. The swing arm is moving back.
I can see all the way to the ground, just like flying the LTV. Piece of cake.
Welcome to our mission control.
Thank you very much.
We copy you down, Eagle. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
What emotions run through your head as you watch that?
For Apollo 11, it was really tense. Yeah, the tension in mission control was through the roof. You know, I was more tense than that landing when I actually did it. Because, you know, in the spacecraft, you're seeing all the systems, whereas in mission control, you're just looking at a little screen, you know. And I was never were this big. They were just little things. First off, I want to say thank you for inviting me to come out and get a briefing from y'all and maybe throw a little piece of advice every once in a while to you.
You're one of the 12 humans in history that has gotten to walk on the face of the moon, and now you're sitting here at SpaceX. I'm curious what your aspirations, your hopes, your dreams are for the future of human space exploration.
Well, I'm excited about the privatization of space. When it first came about, I was a little dubious, but then it was quickly obvious that SpaceX knew what they were doing. And I've been a big supporter of what SpaceX is doing in space, and manned and unmanned launches. I'm impressed with this facility, and the first time I've been here.
Well, sir, it is a real honor. It is a real honor to have you here and have this conversation. Polaris Dawn, sir, is the first of up to three missions that are contemplated. So we're going to bend down the vehicle and conduct a spacewalk. And we're going to test out a new spacesuit that the engineers at SpaceX here have been developing. It's to learn really as much about this new generation suit that SpaceX has built and then the entire operation associated with it. I'll be one of the crew members that goes outside the vehicle. Sarah will be as well. And then Kit and Anna are going to be inside the vehicle in kind of supporting capacity and be the eyes and ears of while we're outside.
Is that visor assembly separate from your... It's all integrated.
Yeah, it's a spiral waist zipper that we don and doff the suit.
It's important to have a suit that works. I mean, it's mobile and fits.
Sir, based on your training experiences, what was the most memorable thing you went through?
Let me cover something that's very similar to y'all's, and that's the Trans-Earth EVA.
Are you ready, Charlie?
Roger, copy. Looks like they all move.
Both the Apollo 15, 16, and 17 had no problems with the Trans-Earth EVAs. They're very spectacular. I mean, the view, I mean, that was my most impressive memory, really, is to float out. And there was the Earth down here about 180,000 miles away. And my job basically was hook myself in so I don't float off and hold on. How long are you depressurized?
So for the spacewalk, based on our... the vehicle design and what we can support, we have about 2 hours end to end for both depressurizing external operations and then repressurizing the spacecraft. But we'll all get suited up, depressurize the spacecraft, and then two people, one at a time, will go outside, come back in before we repressurize the spacecraft.
My advice is don't let go.
That's good advice.
I wish you well. Thank you.
And they didn't let go. They didn't do a space walk or a space stroll. They just stood up in the open hatch one by one, the two of them. The other two inside with their space suits on and so on. The idea was to test a space suit, although no doubt they enjoyed the experience. Now we're going to hear a poem about... about a spacewalk, about Leonov's spacewalk, in fact. It's called Lieutenant Colonel Alexei Leonov. It was written by Peter Goodwin, and it's inspired by that Voskhod 2 flight.
Lieutenant Col. Alexei Leonov, 1965 March 19th. By Peter Goodwin. I had believed the Earth was squirrel's peach blossom and a stone. And the moon half-god with a hidden face never seen reflected in a hunter's eye. Beyond the moon, myths leaped from Earth to a world of size and time their own. But my belief waned in peach trees and squirrels never free-footed from Earth. And a rope was my life as I jumped to a world immeasurable, where to moon has two faces and th Earth is as a pebble in the sea.
On Friday, that's September the 13th, Sarah Gillies performed John Williams's Rays theme from Star Wars while aboard the Polaris Dawn mission in Earth orbit. Her violin performance was televised to the ground via Starlink. You remember those naughty spaceships I was talking about before? And with mixed youth musicians in the El Sistema network. Now, these musicians were in Venezuela, the United States, Brazil, Sweden, Uganda, and Haiti. Gillens' violin was a custom-made one. And somehow or other, they got it all to work, And here is how the performance sounded like.
Three, two, one.
Welcome aboard the Dragon spacecraft. I'm Sarah Gillis, one of the Polaris Dawn crew members. As we travel around our beautiful planet Earth on this five-day mission, we wanted to share this special music moment with you. Bringing together global talent, this performance symbolizes unity and hope, highlighting the resilience and potential of children everywhere. Here is Ray's theme by John Williams, brought to you from the stars.
Rather inappropriate, I think, to use a war theme to promote international music education. However, that's what they did. The organisers of that space-to-ground collaboration must have been turning blue as they waited to see if the Starlink would work to allow that synchronised performance. Spacewalk, written by John Fairfax from the United Kingdom. Now, that wasn't about any specific spaceflight, although it was inspired by cosmonaut Alexei Leonov and astronaut Ed White. So now,
Spacewalk by John Fairfax. Around, around in freefall thought, the clinging cosmo-astronaut, awkward and expensive star, dog paddles from his spinning car, makes the dark and vacant place a refuge for the unshaved face. Look up, my friend, and note it well. This orbit we food packets dwell. Thoughts the same in black and white, cave figures jump in candlelight. Hang on, man, buckled your egg, you're off your knees. No longer beg, I doesn't matter who you are. The highway coming is a star. Cosmo astronaut in space, your anchor cord our act of grace.